elements like that again.
Yeah, it's fun. It was the first time we've done it since, man, I guess that was probably worse than we had in camp. I think a couple times in camp we were practicing in the rain. Then we had the pregame. I think it was Atlanta. So, you know, it was fun.
Any benefits to, I mean, getting ready to play in the elements, throwing with a wet ball, working with the receivers under those conditions?
Yeah, you never know when it's going to come up throughout the season, especially playing down here in Miami. Chances are at least one game it's going to rain at some point in the game. So just to have those reps, you know, handling a wet football, running around on really wet red grass, it's beneficial to everyone.
Brian Hartline's been your leading target this year. Can you just talk about the chemistry you've developed with him in the last year and a half, how reliable he is, things like that?
Yeah, he does a great job for us. You know, I really trust him in knowing where he's going to be at, how he's going to come in and out of breaks. And he's done a good job of getting open and catching the football.
Does a quarterback need him? Sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
All right.
I'll take bids. Who wants to?
I'm broke, man.
You guys are obviously playing at Gillette Stadium this week. Is there a such thing in the NFL as a tough venue, or is it always about the team that plays in that venue?
Well, it's definitely tough venues, and, you know, usually a tough venue is made by a good team, usually. So, of course, the fans, the elements are a part of a venue. But, you know, we think about the toughest place to play. They're usually a good team to go along with it. And, you know, I think New England fits that bill.
I know New England will expect their backups to do well, but what does it mean? What kind of body blow to them was the loss of things Wolford and Mayo, two big integral parts of their defense?
Those are two really good players. You know, obviously, perennial players that have been playing for a long time and doing really well. So to lose those types of guys has to be tough, but it happens to every team throughout the year. At some point, you're going to lose some of the top players on your team, and you have to be able to plug a guy in and expect them to play. And they've done that so far, and have really been playing well for them.
Obviously, Bryant's in here this week. If and when they plug him to the lineup, how hard is that for a quarterback? Because it's not like it's a center where there's an exchange, but is there a feel there for your tackles that you still have to know when, you know, when the rush is coming, when it's not?
Not as much. You know, he just has to get comfortable in the offense and knowing our calls and the adjustments we make at the line of scrimmage. But as far as, you know, relying on each other, it's not so much. You know, we have to be at the right depth in the pocket. But other than that, you know, it's just about learning the playbook.
Limiting turnovers is obviously a big part of your job. Are you happy with the progress you're making on that front?
Well, you know, coming off of the last game, obviously, you know, that's something that didn't go well. Definitely don't want to turn the ball over in the red zone. You know, taking 3 points off the board there, and then coming out first drive of the game, first third down, pick six. So it's definitely something that I'll continue to work on. You know, I think we evaluated all the turnovers going into the bye week or over the bye week, and there's some that could help, and a lot of them I couldn't. So. Definitely those two, this list last week, were squarely on my shoulders.
Look at each one as an education?
Oh, for sure. You have to learn from a good play or a bad play. And obviously the ones that are really bad, a turnover, interceptions, you really overanalyze it and get as much out of it as you can.
The one in the end zone, was that just a bad throw or was it?
Combination of both.
Yeah.
You know, I shouldn't have been going there with the ball to begin with, and I realized that in my throwing motion. Tried to squeeze it a little bit to pull it back down, and, you know, it fluttered and it went straight to him. So it was the ultimate, you know, bad play.
I'm sorry, you say you can overanalyze them sometimes. I assume it's kind of like a blown save for a relief pitcher. You also need to be able to get over them and put it out of your mind to go on, right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, during the game, you forget about it immediately, get to the sideline, talk it over. As soon as that happens, you know, it's out of your mind and you're on to the next play. And then you come in, do the same thing. You watch the film, watch it several times, just figuring out, you know, where you went wrong, what made you do that, why did you make that decision, why did you make that throw. And then once you found out the reason for it, then you file it away and you move forward.
Right, how far along? What would you say is the differences in both your game?
That's fine.
In both your performances and the team as a whole? First three games that were wins and the last three that were losses?
Well, it's not one thing. You know, I think that it's been a combination of different things. Most importantly, we just haven't made the big plays at the right time. We had a chance to win each of the last two ball games there at the end, and, you know, we didn't do it.
How far along would you say you and Brandi Gibson have come in your connection? Obviously, last
Yeah, Brandon's done a great job. You know, I think that we've really grown over, obviously, the past 6 months, and he's really fitting in well to our offense. He understands the concepts, understands the routes we're running really well right now, and he's doing a great job of getting open and catching the balls that are thrown to him.
Is it too early to start talking about must wins? I mean, this is obviously a huge swing game for you guys.
About what?
Must wins, like situations like that. I mean, I know it's early, but...
Every week is approached as a must-win. You know, our backs are kind of against the wall right now, obviously, losing three in a row. We realize that. We realize we're going to play a good team up in New England. So, division game, you have to get over last week's and come to play this week.
How much time do you spend watching veteran quarterbacks, Brady and Manning and others, to see how they buy that extra second when the blitz is coming, what things they do?
During the offseason, a lot. You know, I don't do it at all during season, obviously. You know, focus on what we got going here. But during the off season, I'll take a look at a lot of those guys' tape and just try to pick up. You know, they're all different. They all go about things a different way and move around in a different way. But you can kind of pick up small things from everyone individually.
What do you see from Brady first?
He gets the ball out quickly. You know, I think that's one thing he's known for. He's really accurate with football, and, you know, he makes slight, subtle movements in the pocket that buy him that extra half second.
Ryan, what do you guys need to do to get the running game going? Is it blocking? Is it the running backs breaking tackles and getting yards on their own occasionally? What's the problem there?
I think it's a combination of both, and we saw it last week. You know, I feel like we did a great job running the football last week. Some unblocked yardage by the running backs. You know, safeties are coming down. They're making a miss, running through a tackle. Every play is not going to be blocked up perfectly. That's just life in the NFL. The guys on the other side are playing too, so... you're going to have to run through some arm tackles, make guys miss on the second and third level. And the guys really did that. You know, Lamar and Daniel did that last week. And the offensive line did a great job of executing the run plays as we called them.